Good to have all of you here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 14, verse 10, and then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 as well. The title of the message this morning is The Judgment Seat of Christ. We talk about the white throne judgment sometimes concerning the lost, and we need to be reminded from time to time that the Christian is also going to stand and give an account of their life and service and stewardship to the Lord, and that's what we want to consider this morning. Romans chapter 14, verse 10, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad." When a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, God saves him. And a good example is that in Luke chapter 16. And it reminds us of the Philippian jailer. He had Paul and Silas in jail, and he was sitting there listening to them all night long, singing songs of Zion. Now, it's hard to pray when you're in prison, and it's hard to sing when you're in prison. But they were rejoicing. They were singing songs of Zion. They were praying. They were having a good worship experience. But about midnight, the Bible tells us that there was a big earthquake that came, and it broke the doors open and set their shackles free. And the jailer, seeing that the doors were open and that the shackles were free, he pulled out his sword and was about to take his life, because he was responsible with his life for the prisoners. But Paul said, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And the man immediately cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" Amen. Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Now, no one deserves to be saved, and no one can do anything at all in order to merit salvation. Salvation is by the grace of God. For grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. It is bestowed fully and freely in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ upon all who accept him and trust him as their personal Savior. Now, there are different types of Christians that we want to consider this morning. There are the faithful and the unfaithful. He tells us in Matthew 25, verse 21, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," talking about the talents. A little bit later in that parable, he talks about the one that hid his talents. And he said, "Depart from me." So we know that there are faithful and unfaithful servants of God in the house of God. And I can tell you that if it were not for the really faithful, the church within the church, no church would be able to survive. There's also the spiritual and the immature. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, "And I could not, brother, speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal," or immature, "even as babes in Christ." So he reminds us that while we start out as a babe in Christ, when you get saved, you're automatically a babe in Christ and you're on the milk of the word. But God doesn't intend that we stay there, but that we grow thereby and get on the meat of the word. But he's talking about in Corinthians folks that have been Christian for a long time, and they should have been making progress. They should have been teachers of the word instead of having to be taught. So he reminds us that we need to grow, but there are spiritual and there are those that are immature. They never seem to grow up. There's also the diligent and the careless. He says in Ephesians 5:15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, I'm going to tell you, this book tells you what the will of the Lord is. And I'm sure that in most homes that dust collects on that book, because we don't pick it up like we ought to and study the Word of God. If we did, we would draw closer to Him. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Christians need to be reminded that there is a great examination day that is coming, and we must work and live in light of that day. Now, I know it seems like, you know, and the excuse back in biblical times was, where is the promise of His coming? We've heard this for years, but He still hasn't come. And folks are living that way today. He hasn't come. Where is the promise of His coming? And so we get lackadaisical. And we don't serve like we ought to serve. Well, there is a reward day coming. In 2 John verse 8, it says, "Look to yourselves that you lose not those things which we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward." Now, we are to be judged or examined concerning our service, our stewardship. And stewardship is more than money. Money's included, but stewardship involves the total of our lives. We ought to do what God says to do in this book. And we ought to be faithful, because you know what? One day, He's going to look you in the eye. One day you will stand before Him. It's not just the sinner, but we as Christians are going to have to be examined for our stewardship. And I want Him to say, "Well done," don't you? So I want us to consider when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, what will happen. Number one, we shall appear as we really are. For only God can see the real us. Now, we might pull the wool over somebody else's eyes, and they may not see us as we really are. But the Bible says, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." You know, you look in your own life, and sometimes we're awful eager to look at somebody else's life. But when you look at your own life, and that's really what you're accountable for when you stand before God, you won't be accountable for anybody else, but you will be accountable for you. And we need to be faithful. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, the literal translation says, "We must all be manifested without disguise or in our true character." Do you know and do you realize that the Lord's eyes are in every place beholding the evil and the good? And when He looked down upon the old world, He knew the thoughts and the intents of their heart. I'm here to tell you that the Lord knows more about you than you know about you. He knows more about me than I know about me. But it reminds me that I'll receive a fair judgment because he is omniscient. And I want to hear him say, well done. A good example is in Acts chapter 5 of Ananias and Sapphira. Now the Bible tells us about this infamous couple that there was a famine in the land and folks were giving money and doing all they could to alleviate that problem. And some of them sold property and houses and gave it to the church that it might go to that need. And so Ananias and Sapphira saw that folks were being patted on the back and they were receiving accolades and they decided, well, we'll sell some property that we've got and we'll give it. But somewhere along the line, they contrived a scheme whereby they were going to hold back some of it, but they would say that we're giving the whole amount. But God, whose eyes are in every place, and who knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart, he saw what they were doing. And so he communicates to his servant, Peter. And when Ananias came up and said, I'm bringing this offering. And Peter said, did you sell it for so much? Oh, yes. Not knowing the Lord had already told him of the scheme. And he said, you're not lying unto men. You're lying to the Holy Ghost. And he fell dead at Peter's feet. And the young men came in and they picked him up and they took him out and they buried him. Now Ananias' wife Sapphira, she didn't come with him, but she came later and she had the other half of what they were going to give. And so Peter asked her, said, did you sell it for so much? Oh, yes, yes, yes. And we're bringing it all to the church. He said, the same young men that just carried your husband out are back at the door. They're coming for you. And she fell dead at Peter's feet. Now, that's an example of the fact that God knows our hearts. God knows everything about us. And one day we're going to stand before him and account. And I want folks to see me as one that's a dedicated Christian here. But I want him to say, Carl, you've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Well, the test of fire reveals in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 through 15, said, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abides which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, the kind of work that we do and service we give in the church will be examined. That's what he's telling us. Whatever man hath built upon this foundation, it'll be revealed. Whether he's held to truth or error, it'll be revealed. If you've lived according to the truth of God's word and you've been a stickler for standing for the will of God, that'll be revealed. But if you've been unfaithful and you really haven't been committed like you ought to, that'll be revealed. The correct view of righteousness will be revealed. It is amazing today what folks believe to be righteousness. And they think that everything's all right if they're disobedient. I go to church every now and then. You know, I do this and I do that. But I'm here to tell you that if it's real, it's real 24/7. If it's real, it's genuine all the time. And we're going to live by this book. It may not be popular, and it may not always be what the world wants, but we're held to a higher standard. I'm going to live for God. And then whether a man has done right or not, whether he's done what he should have done. You know, the sin of omission. A lot of times we know that we shouldn't do this and we do it anyway, and that's a sin of commission. But a lot of times we go and we know we ought to do it and we don't do it. That's the sin of omission. Don't you really think this morning? Don't you really think this morning that we're real close to the time of the Lord saying it's enough? And if we're ever going to live right and be faithful to God, it ought to be now. Tomorrow might be too late. The one thing that will count before God is reality. He will manifest our motives. You know, it's not just what we do, but why we do it. I want to do because I love the Lord. Don't you? I want folks to know that I love the Lord. Now, I'm a sports enthusiast, and I love football, basketball, softball. You know, I love it all. But I want to talk about Jesus. He's the most important person in my life. And while we can have some other likes and dislikes, what we love is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We should give an account of our life and service, and there are no exceptions, for the Bible said, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, the account is of ourself. I can't give account for you. You can't give account for me. But my accounting, when I stand before God, he's going to ask me about Carl, not about you. Now, I have a responsibility as a pastor to help you along the way to make heaven your home. And sometimes it's just simply to remind you of what you need to be doing. I'm sure that I don't tell you many things that you don't already know, but sometimes we just need to be reminded that we need to be faithful, faithful, faithful. You know, and to me, faithful is Sunday morning, it's Sunday night, it's Wednesday night, it's revival time. It's just being faithful. It's serving the God 24/7 because you love him. It will be revealed then whether we have lived for God's glory or self-pleasing. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Who do I live for? The one who died for me and rose again. He's on the right hand of the throne of God this morning. He's making intercession for all of God's children. That's who we live for. How we have used our time will be examined on that day. The Bible says redeeming the time because the days are evil. That is, we're to buy back the time. We're to use it wisely. Brethren, use your time. It doesn't mean you can't do some other things, but have a directive in your life. Have a goal in your life. That I'm going to use my time for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Brother, we're running out of time. running out of time. And if we're going to make use of the time, we've got to redeem it, buy it back, use it wisely, but use it for the glory of Almighty God. How we've used our money, our possessions, our property. I very seldom ever say anything about tithing. I won't tell you every Christian ought to tithe because the Bible says do it. A tithe is 1/10 of everything you make. You ought to pay it regardless. You don't give anything to God until you pay the 10th. God help us to be faithful. Whatever we have. You know, I enjoy giving. And I can tell you that if you want to ever look at the books, you can look at yours. And you look at mine. I'm not ashamed of what we do because we give far more than the tithe. But I enjoy doing it. I do it because, well, we do it because we love the Lord. Whether we have sought the will of God and the salvation of the lost. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:11, since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. And Christians ought to know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men in light of that. And what we are is plain to God, and I hope it's also plain to your conscience. Now, that's the NIV. But it is plain to God, isn't it? I mean, we ought to be up and about the business of trying to warn folks because we know hell is real. We know that judgment is coming. And if anybody is to warn the wicked world of the error of their ways, it's the Christians. We don't just come in here on Sunday and have a good time and worship the Lord, go home and say, well, we've worshiped God, we've done our work for the Lord for the week. No, it's a 24/7 job. You need to work at it. Work at it. Then, whether we've been faithful in prayer will be examined. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now we talk about power, and there's power in the hydrogen bomb, but the greatest power in the world is the power of prayer. Because prayer moves God's power into action and allows God to do what needs to be done. All of our words that have been spoken will be examined. The Bible said every idle word will be examined in the day of judgment. I'm going to tell you, be kind to one another. Say good things. If you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. A Christian has love in their heart. And we ought to say things that build up and edify, not tear down. One day we're going to stand before God. And I want him to look at me and know that there's love in my heart for him and for one another. Our attitude towards our brother and church will be examined. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. That's hard to do, isn't it? You know, to look in the mirror and say, you know, I don't like you. You don't do that. I won't tell you, you can look in the mirror and on your worst day, you say, wow, what a... And we ought to feel the same way about our neighbors, about our friends. Hey, about folks sitting in church with you. Love one another. Love one another. Say good things about one another. Build up one another. Your church has a testimony. Has a testimony. It is the collective testimony of all of us that are here this morning. And folks need to see that we love the Lord and we love one another and we love the community at large that's around us, and we want to try to reach them for the cause of Christ. And then our work will have to be accounted for. His work shall be shown for what it is, because the day shall declare it or bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. You can build on wood, hay, and stubble, and the fire will consume it. It'll not do you any good. But if you have gold and silver, the fire only takes off the dross and purifies the metal. And that's the kind of, fire doesn't hurt gold or silver. It just helps to purify. Well, when we appear before the judge, what is his purpose? Obviously, divide the sheep from the goats. The sheep will go on the right hand, the goats will go on the left hand. The Bible said, all nations shall be gathered before him, and he shall separate them one from another. Now, it's not nation one from another, but the individuals of the nation shall be separated. Those that are Christians on the right hand, those that are not on the left hand. To the goats he will say, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. All will be revealed. Nothing escapes his eye. Boy, that's amazing, isn't it? You know, I think about women sometimes. They never forget anything, do they? I mean, they've got a memory better than an elephant, you know. And nothing escapes their eye. If you don't get that honey list done, you'll hear about it for a long time. But the Lord has a perfect knowledge. And I'm just kidding you ladies. Now, I wouldn't say that. But the Lord has a perfect knowledge. He knows exactly everything about us. He is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's always there. And he's always, his eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So the Bible tells us all will be revealed. Nothing escapes his eye. All is recorded. The real you will be revealed on that day. And the sinner will go away into everlasting punishment. But the sheep are placed on the right hand. And he says, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. The righteous go into life eternal. You know, I really believe that we're awfully close. And it might well be before this day's out, the Lord will say it's enough, and we've reached that time on his calendar that he says, it's time for me to come back for my children, the church. And he's coming. But it will be too late on that day to wish that we have been more faithful in our work and our witness. The time to do it is now. And God sends preachers to remind. That's all I do. It's just remind of what the Bible says for you to do and for me to do. And we strive to encourage and help one another to walk the straight and narrow, to do that which is right, to be faithful. Now is the time to see these things for what they really are. For the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 11:31, for if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, he's saying, if you take the time to see your problems and your shortcomings, and with God's help you correct them, then the judgment day, you will not really, in essence, have to be judged because you've already taken care of it yourself. How wonderful. You know, the judgment day is coming. I want to be ready. I know you do as well. And so I pray that God will help us all to do his bidding and that we'll do it every day till he says it's enough. Will you pray with me?